It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. Let's begin a Tuesday, kids. Gary, how are you?
Well, there it is. There it is. Biden tells Sharpton he will run again. Gas prices hit a record high in Los Angeles. 60% of Americans now living paycheck to paycheck. We'll tell you about the producer and actor in a movie with gay content who says the movie is failing at the box office because of homophobia. Straight people won't go. U.S. home prices now posting biggest monthly drop since 2009. A new poll out there, Americans say grocery prices will affect their vote. Trump's lawsuit against CNN. Vegetarians, this comes after the story we did last week about PETA suggesting that, well, I was suggesting demanding that women withhold sex from men who eat meat. And study out, vegetarians are twice as likely to be depressed as meat eaters.
Oh.
So that coming up. And economic realities, which we can start off right now because it's something that we've talked about all the time, the abstract versus reality and how liberals view economics versus how economics actually works. And it's something that we've always stated before, that one of the problems with liberalism is that they believe that they can control an economy and therefore they can control economics. They may be able to control an economy, but they can't control economics. St. Paul, Wall Street Journal had this, St. Paul, Minnesota, as they write here, rent control is among, and this gets to, you know, price controls.
Right.
Rent control is the same thing as price controls. And you have, who was suggesting, Biden. Yeah.
Right.
You know, that if we don't, if we, you know, that gasoline needs to be lowered, and if it isn't, we should consider price controls. And they always talk about price controls. And Robert Reich wrote that huge article just about a week and a half ago.
Right.
That we need to have price controls.
Right.
And as they write here, the Wall Street Journal editorial board, rent control is among the dumbest policies known to man. But cities keep trying it. St. Paul, Minnesota is the latest to discover this universal truth, though not before significant damage was done. It shows that voters are idiots, also on economics, can be. Voters passed a ballot measure last November imposing a 3% cap on annual rent increases. The result? Builders shunned the city. Said, sorry, not going to build there. And the city council has responded by voting late last month to create new exceptions to the cap. Effective January 1st, there will be a 20-year rent control exemption for new residential properties. So what they're saying is, if you're already here, tough luck.
Right.
But yeah, the price controls did tremendous amount of damage. Think about this. They passed the ballot measure last November, not even a year into it. That's how many builders abandoned St. Paul, where they had to come out and say, all right, there'll be a 20-year rent control exemption for new residential properties. So you get 20 years to build your...
Wasn't there a similar type of exemption? I don't know if it was in New York City back in the day or Chicago or somewhere else, but they also wrote in that if it's newly renovated, and so the owners, the landlords, would go in and just renovate just to the point of qualifying, and then boom, you know, they had the exemption.
Effective January 1st, there will be a 20-year rent control exemption for new residential properties and some apartments that participate in government affordable housing programs, which I guess means if you're subsidized from the government,
you don't need rent control.
Apparently, I don't know. Well, yeah, because the government will subsidize the extra cost, maybe.
Yeah, because it's other people's money.
Right.
Oh, okay.
After a tenant leaves or is evicted with just cause, landlords will be able to raise rents also by 8% plus inflation.
property. Yeah. You sure you want to do that now? Plus inflation?
Property owners can also apply to St. Paul for an exemption to the 3% rent cap if their property taxes go up or if there are unavoidable increases in maintenance and operating costs, including increases owing to inflation. But the city council also restricted landlords from passing along new utility charges to tenants as a way to offset the rent caps. And that's when they're probably you're not going to be able to get inclusive
all bills paid, all inclusive.
Yeah. That they'll just say, okay, you can do it. Score a half point for the persuasive power of economic reality. The city council noted in its reform bill that according to data from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, there have been only 200 residential building permits in St. Paul in April of 2022. That compared to 1,391 at the same point in 2021. Imagine that. They also research found also that multifamily permitting surged in Minneapolis right next door after its Twin City passed rent control. Developers have a choice of where to build, and St. Paul gave them little incentive to invest there.
Wait. Developers have a choice as to where to build? When did that happen? They really think they can control the world, don't they?
Yep. So city council's reforms treat the old rent control ordinance as merely too much of an acceptable policy, but rent control is destructive because it reduces the supply of housing, especially for low-income households. The city's reforms are a wink at this economic reality, but repeal of the whole bill would have been better. But it just shows you, again, economics. This is where, again, the left always believes that they can change, since they believe that they can change an economy, which they can. They can help.
Yeah.
You can by tax policy. If you have a better tax policy, you can help, increase the economy. You can also help destroy the economy mm-hmm. with regulation and policy. In government, but rent controls like price controls always fail.
I was this is probably a horrible analogy, and I'm sure one of our smart listeners will correct me if you don't. But I always see the government as like a track coach. They can get out of the way, or they can stick their foot out, and that's it. You're either in the way or you get out of the way and let the economy. And by the way, this is where we always get the far left. It inevitably, over the years, we'll get someone, you believe there should be zero regulations? No, I think there should be two or three. But it is the cost of regulation and everything else right now, the cost of doing business. I'll never forget when you and I. Man, this goes back to, I think, when we first started together. And there was a guy that we knew at the time that had a mortgage company, and we were talking about mortgages and the reason that they couldn't, that mortgage companies wouldn't finance, like, you know, smaller properties. And if you go to very poor states or rural areas, and back then, this was 2005, 2006, somewhere in there, you could still find properties at $50,000, $60,000. They were small and older homes, but they wouldn't finance them because the cost of government attached to a mortgage, even then, was way too great. And so the mortgage companies just didn't lend. You would have to go to, you know, smaller local bank or something like that. The cost of government in everything is how things start to and manipulation. It's not always the direct cost of government, like a tax or fee being passed on. Sometimes it's the government creating a rule that makes it costly for business owners. I don't know what's going to happen with rent. I really don't know. I mean, I fear more and more that we're looking down, you know, right now at a, you know, at 2023 here in a few months. Can you believe this? 23 starts in a few months.
I know.
And that, and more analysts, by the way, during the day Monday, over the weekend, but during the day Monday, that, yeah, 23 doesn't look great. Oh, I forget which company it was that said they anticipate 23 to be a very slow year, but it was a major company saying that. Even though the stock market did have a rebound on Monday, a pretty healthy rebound, and futures are up right now, the reality of a recession, I think, is probably the only thing that we're going to see in terms of relief. You and I talk about deflation. It's only happened a couple of times in American history. And one of those times, the only real measurable time that was not arguable at all was the Great Depression. And so let's hope we're not headed for that. I don't know anybody that believes we're headed to that big of a doom, but we are in likely in a recession now and likely going to be in one of those longer recessions many analysts believe now. And that could, the length of a recession could also bring prices down, but for the wrong reason. Because you tell me where rent caps out. You know, I've got, well, my oldest will turn 40 next month. I've got adult kids, and I'm still, it boggles my mind how they're going to afford. My wife and I were cruising around a neighborhood the other day, and we saw, what was that, a two-bedroom condo, you know, for $2,500 a month. And I know people in D.C. and in New York are laughing at that right now, but here, that's expensive, very expensive. And I just don't know how the next generation affords the rent. Without a massive productivity explosion, wealth explosion, I don't know how it happens. And that's exactly what we need. We had somebody write us a week or two ago, you guys always complain, don't ever have answers. Yeah, we do. The government needs to get out of the way, and we need productivity to come back. And this is what needs to happen,
well,
because
actually,
that's how wealth expands.
Actually, not only do we have answers, but by telling people what and governments what not to do,
mm-hmm.
that is an answer.
Mm-hmm. And by the way,
don't
it goes for Republicans
this.
When they're in power, too.
Yes.
They don't get a walk. They do not get a walk. Especially when they raise our taxes and lower everybody else's. Stupid Republicans.
Yeah, we always give answers constantly.
Yep.
Again, that's somebody who's just, you know what it is? That's somebody who's upset at the answers we give.
It's also somebody who's upset with their own party. I see that more and more, and it's so funny how quickly now I compartmentalize it.
No, but that, you're right, because that's actually, that's what you've heard
yeah.
from Biden and Pelosi. Well, what's their solution?
Right.
Don't do what you're doing.
Right.
You know, for example, trying to think of an idea, if this is, I don't know why this jumped in my mind, but maybe because of Beto, but if you're on a skateboard and keep falling off and don't have the ability.
By falling off, we mean losing elections, but yeah.
and you keep falling off the skateboard, you may have a problem. One possible solution is don't get on the skateboard.
Yeah. Or get a bigger helmet.
Exactly.
Some better knee pads and elbow pads.
But if the problem is we keep falling off the skateboard.
Yeah.
Well, then don't skateboard.
Yeah, maybe.
Apparently,
maybe.
You don't have the
like
physical ability to do that.
Coach Valdez told me when I was in the sixth grade, hey, as the future wrestler Shawn Michaels was lapping everybody on the track for the same team, and I was trying out for quarterback, he looked at me and said, hey, you like music, don't you? Have you ever considered band? Maybe this isn't your thing. And I've never, ever, ever, ever looked back on that with anything but joy and gratitude.
Well, but that was an answer.
That was an answer. That was direction by somebody. By somebody, by the way, who cared. He was he was genuinely concerned about it because, frankly, I had no place on that team. I knew it then. I knew it when I walked out to tryouts. And the thing is that you're out there and, you know, it's late summer, early fall. It's late in the day. You're tired. The most exercise I got was, you know, if I was running late for the bus and I had to run to catch up with it. You know, meanwhile, the future Shawn Michaels is lapping everybody else on the, you know, and I looked at all the other athletes on that team. We were only in sixth grade. I knew. And yeah, when something's not working, you know when something is not going to work. This is the whole problem with what we have right now, is that you and I talk about it. It's there's zero self-awareness, but also they don't care. The Democratic Party and this administration don't care that they're getting it wrong.
No, they don't.
Know how to fix this. They know how to fix it.
They don't care.
They don't care to fix it. They don't want to fix it because they painted themselves into a corner between identity politics and the demonization of capitalism. They can't ever turn around and do the opposite. They can't do what's right. They're not going to do it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
As the seasons change, so does truck maintenance. Cold weather can affect everything from your batteries and air brake system to tire inflation and fuel lines. Here's a maintenance tip to help make sure your rig is ready when winter comes knocking. When water and moisture build in your air brake system in the dead of winter, it will almost certainly freeze and turn to ice, which can damage valves, air dryers, and other air system components. Be sure to inspect your system for any air leaks and to confirm the system is receiving a clear air supply. Check and drain your air tanks daily to keep water, contaminants, and corrosion at bay. Find a professional service center near you to learn more about winterizing your truck or to have your air brake system inspected today.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Eric Harley here for a new sponsor, Total Tax, Inc. Total Tax knows how challenging it can be to run your own business. Whether it's just you and your rig on the open road or if you operate a fleet, Total Tax can help. They've been helping small business owners like you across the USA since 1991 with an experienced and licensed team of financial and tax experts to help keep your business on track and successful. Whether you need help filing back tax returns, resolving taxes you owe, or staying on top of your bookkeeping and current tax returns, think of Total Tax as your business partner providing you with peace of mind while you're on the road. Total Tax is a family-owned business that understands our independent tradesmen are the backbone of America, and they look forward to serving your financial and tax needs so you can keep our country running strong by providing consistent, personal, dedicated, effective, and ethical service to their clients. Total Tax has sustained an A+ BBB rating for over three decades. Go to TotalTaxForTruckers.com or call 855-920-4121 today and get a free consultation. That's TotalTaxForTruckers.com. TotalTaxForTruckers.com.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I've just something just popped in my head. I got to go find the audio, and it was from local LA TV talking about the gas prices and going through every city and what the gas prices were because they hit a record high even past where they were in June.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it is the talk, and the reason I bring it up is, again, I don't think gas prices are going to change any of the races in California.
No.
You know, because this is what they want, and I believe the people of California, the not the conservatives,
or the Republicans, but I believe that Democrats in California are like the party. They want high gasoline prices. And I'll say this again, and I'll continue to say this until they eventually come down, because I find it fascinating. This is one of the things where I look at our society and I look at the things that the Democrats say when everybody knows that they're false. Every right. Democrat, everybody who pays attention, who knows what the issues are, everybody knows the Democrats absolutely want high gasoline prices.
Right.
They want high fuel oil prices. They want high electricity prices in order to force people to alternative forms of energy. We'll continue coming up.
McNamara and Eric Harley taking your calls. 1-866 90 Red Eye.
Thought I'm like, what am I hearing in between it? It's you talking.
That's me. I got the big guy's back. He's right. We are taking your calls. By the way, we're not taking any calls. 866 90 Red Eye. Don't call that number. Whatever you do. Just kidding. You were looking over some of the polls during the break.
Yes.
Rubio now a healthy lead on the RCP average. Well, he's got a 3-point. Oh, hold on a second. 3.6 lead over Val Demings in Florida. But in the latest, one of the latest polls, it's a Spectrum News Siena poll taking the 18th through the 25th of September, likely voters, and Rubio plus 7.
The polls are all over the place, by the way.
Yeah.
We look at the history of polls, and as does RCP, Real Clear Politics. And yesterday, if you listened to yesterday's show, we talked about the fact of why they're predicting that the Republicans will take two seats, they will take, it'll be 52-48 is what they believe that it will be. They believe that, Walker's going to win in Georgia and that Oz will win in Pennsylvania.
I wonder with Walker, if how much of that is about Kemp. Because Kemp is doing well.
I think that's part of it. Yeah.
That it could be, again, a party thing.
Well, but I also think it's because I know that Walker's been hitting, for example, the liberal transgender activist movement. He's been, hitting pretty hard.
Right.
And we've always believed, when they say the culture issues here, the culture issues have changed over the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
The culture issues are completely different. They're no longer, and this is one of the reasons where it's so tough to figure out, how accurate the polls are and what's going to happen this November. Because, if you talked about gay marriage at a particular time, let's go back to gay marriage. Gay marriage, for the vast majority of the population, is an abstract concept.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the population is not going to be involved in it. When you got to the liberal transgender activist movement, remember there were schools in Texas. Remember a couple of years ago where schools in Texas were saying, no, boys must be able to use the girls' bathroom.
Actually, the week that the joint edict came down from the Obama administration, from the Department of Education and the Justice Department, it was Fort Worth ISD. Now, they had said, we'll make special accommodations in terms of the bathroom, right, for the student. by the end of that week, and I think that was the middle ground that they had reached locally, by the end of that week, the joint edict came down and said, nope. And it was directed, of course, at all public schools. Nope, you can't make any special accommodations for the transgender student.
From the state?
No, it came down from the federal government, from Obama's Justice Department and Department of Education.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Okay, I thought you were going in the opposite direction. Okay.
And so, you know, Fort Worth ISD had gone back and forth. They had parents that were saying, no, we don't want this. And then they basically, I think the happy medium was, and it was temporary, because a few days later, the Obama administration changed all that for everybody. But it was the Fort Worth ISD.
Well, then, and remember, we talked about what happened in Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
You know, in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, companies aren't going to go to, remember how big this was and how it was only going in one direction.
Right.
Companies, no, we're not going to do business in a state that will not allow, because it wasn't even about boys playing girls' sports. There was some of that, but the big thing was, and we just like, have they lost their minds?
Mm.
That you can remember the California story about the 1 8-year-old girl that was called a bigot. She was 8 or 9
years
old.
That goes back,
five, 6, 7 years ago.
Maybe 2012, 2013.
That long ago?
I remember which studios we were in. We were in the studios before this.
Oh, okay. All right. So that at least goes back 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what? And then the Charlotte Observer that young girls just need to get used to male genitalia.
Right.
And there was this whole thing, and you had industry saying, we're not going to do business. Sports league saying, we don't know. This is the kind of bigotry we can't accept.
Right.
Men and boys need to dress and share the same locker room and bathrooms as girls.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you talking about? Where's this? And remember how strong that was?
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, it still didn't gain. I don't know why it didn't, the opposition, you know what it was? It was the blue wave of intimidation coming that we will cancel you if you don't agree with this.
Right,
well, then time changes all of that, and now it's completely in the opposite direction.
Some of those companies were called out and said, wait a minute, you do business in parts of the world where you can't come out in public as gay. But you're going to boycott certain states,
right?
Here domestically,
and so you and he brought in the one woman swimmer, the one who has lost to Leah Thomas, and so when you see these issues, when you see critical race theory is no longer an abstract concept. You saw the nurse here in Texas who was fired. She got a huge lawsuit.
Right.
Because of the critical race theory training. And basically she said, this is racist. And, you know, nope.
Right.
And not going to do it. They fired her. And you and I have talked about the fact that these companies that do this training, that talk about the fact that all white people, are racist and white people this and why they are looking at a huge, huge possible lawsuit.
That it would surprise me if there wasn't class action.
Yep. And so it's changed because it's appeared everywhere. It's appeared in companies.
Oh, yeah.
It's appeared now in school districts. We've seen the parents uprising. We've seen the school board elections across the country in districts that are promoting critical race theory and the liberal transgender activist movement, and they're getting beat down pretty bad, you know, by the public on it in school board elections around the country. And so it all of a sudden that issue became reality. And you take that and you put that onto what's coming to my school, my kids, what? And so that on top of inflation, you know, whoa. And so I think it's also, and I don't know. I mean, I have not. We live in Texas. And so because it's not viewed at the moment, it was a couple of years ago as a toss-up state, we may not be seeing it.
But I'm just amazed that the commitment to America, have you heard anything about it since they promoted it?
No.
Have you seen any commercials on it at all?
No.
No, nothing. So they threw it out, and I've heard. Now, maybe in other states they have. I haven't seen any type of national effort by the Republican Party to promote that, as they should be.
Well, it's
and the reason is to tie everybody together. That you're not voting for Walker. You're not just voting for Oz.
Here's the concerted effort,
right? Yeah. They're all part of the concerted effort to push all of this back.
Right.
Vote Republican. Vote Republican. Vote Republican. Vote Republican to get us out of this, you know, crazy mess. I'm still not happy. And again, we live in Texas, so I don't see the advertising in these, you know, in different states. And I'm willing to, you know, put out there, I'm ignorant as to, you know, what it might seem like by the TV ads and everything else. But just on a national scale and observing what I can in the states, I don't see it.
Yeah, I got a text a few weeks ago. Hey, Eric, can we count on your vote for Beto November 8th? And I just responded, no. I didn't get a response after that. That's really, I don't see many ads. Yesterday, I saw some web ads that popped up, and they were Beto ads.
Well, like I said, the ad I've seen the most is the ad not run by Beto, but run by has to be a Democratic PAC.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they attacking them on? That Republicans don't know how to run the energy grid.
Right. My parents live in Ronnie Jackson's district here in Texas, and I did see some ads. I don't watch hardly any commercial television. Even the YouTube that I watch, I have the commercial free.
Okay, yeah, it's all over. And so all over YouTube.
When you watch cable, or in my parents' case, satellite TV, it was every break. That couple of days that I actually sat there and watched TV, I was busy with some projects around their house. But when I was sitting down and we were eating or whatever, or sitting down in front of the TV, the ads were all over the place. And most of them were Governor Abbott's.
Yes, I've seen more Abbott ads than I have Beto ads.
That may have changed since then, because I have not sat down in front of a TV there. That's been now a couple of weeks. And so that may have changed since, you know, the 1st of October. I don't know if, you know, how heavy they're placing the ads. But yesterday, one website, it was like two different ads right away, banner ads. And then a video ad came up in the embedded video for Beto. So, you know, this is going to, this will be the, this is it. This is the Hail Mary. But I don't know what you do as a Democrat aside from trying to separate yourself from Biden. You know, in one of the border districts, the case was made that they have a candidate, a GOP candidate that is right now challenging the Democrat, but you know, you're talking about one of the most conservative Democrats. It's that Laredo district that there is in Congress, and somebody who has been very vocal against the Biden administration. So, aside from that, where do you hear it? Border Democrats, a couple of border Democrats. That's all you hear in terms of criticizing this administration. And I don't know, you know, that's what you pretty much have to do at home, unless you're in Nancy Pelosi's district or AOC's district,
or you just don't bring them up. That's what you do.
Yeah, well, you just live in your delusional state and pretend like everything's going to be fine.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Yeah, I don't see, and you know, you've seen, especially on social media, well, Democrats are making a comeback. Democrats are making a comeback here. And the whole thing about, I did see the Wall Street Journal poll showing that Latinos are moving back to the Democratic Party. I don't see that anywhere. Yeah, I don't see that in the polls, yeah. You know, looking here. You know, and if that's happening in a generic poll over, and we went through the Civics poll yesterday, which is a liberal pollster on Latinos and Biden, for example. But if those things are happening, they somehow are not affecting what the polls are saying on the races as, and I believe it was yesterday or the day before, I believe it was the New York Times that had an article that are, because now the mainstream media has picked up on it, are the polls again underestimating Republican, you know, the you know, the what Republicans, you know, are they underestimating Republicans again in this election? And I'll include in that, and with inflation.
Have they not properly priced in inflation?
Right. And again, we don't look at every poll and say, oh, okay, that proves that person is winning. We take a look at all the polls out there and see where the movement is.
Right.
Where the momentum is, where the inertia is. Came out yesterday, the Monmouth poll showing a 10-point swing toward GOP to control Congress since August.
Mm-hmm. Look, historically, without massive inflation
or polls,
the first midterm of any president is going to be a challenge. And historically, much of the time, it's going to go to the opposition. That's just historically the way it happens. And now, and it happened to Obama in 2010, now you add to it inflation. And we're curious. Are they properly measuring inflation and the impact?
Top of the Hour News is brought to you by Howe's Products. Visit howesproducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thank you for being here. You know, by the way, download our Red Eye Radio app today, because if you can't listen overnight to one of our great radio station affiliates, you can listen on your cell phone, your smartphone, whenever you want. I'm thinking about getting a new one.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I have the, I forgot if I have the Note 9 or Note 10.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. And it's slowing up on me, even though I clean it and everything else. It, you know. It's...
Well, mine's so old, it has a Matlock app on it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be, I think that would be either Pluto TV or Freevee.
the updated, ringer tones that you can get include The Andy Griffith Show, the original Twilight Zone. I'm thinking I may need a new phone soon. I just don't. For me, I don't know that the technology has hit a plateau so much as that my need from a smartphone, what I need from a smartphone has. I follow Marques Brownlee on YouTube. This guy's been, since he was a kid, he's been doing YouTube for many years, and he reviews electronics. And he's very open and honest about it. He's probably the closest with electronics, probably the closest you could get to Consumer Reports. You know, I don't know if he sells sponsorship to his videos. He might, but I don't think he does it with the electronics companies. Now, he'll tell you, my preferred phone, he'll carry a phone for like 30 days. Okay, here's what I think of it. He'll use it for 30 days, and he's always got two. And so but the thing is that he's one of those guys that talks so fast, and they have their own language in the tech field. You've really got to keep up. So my thought is, okay, I'm looking for, obviously, a phone that's going to last me a few years, a phone that's going to have a good camera on it, a proper amount of storage, and, by the way, be able to make a phone call. I just, right now, my needs from a smartphone have plateaued. One of the things he's pointed out, though, is that there's been this, I don't know if he would call it a misnomer, but it is this thought that, man, they start slowing your phone down because they just want you to get a new one.
The planned electrical obsolescence.
Well, it's that the design is outdated and the build, the makeup of your phone is not operating based on an app today versus an app you may have downloaded
right
29 years ago when I got this phone. The thing is that it's so the needs of the phone ramp up the design that drives the design. And for guys like him, they look at the camera and they want it to be quality. They're often gamers and they need they need it to be fast. They need the graphics to be great. But he's also, I think, very good at pointing out some very good consumer level price friendly phones that also have pretty good tech on them in terms of the cameras and everything else. I still haven't, and you and I have been talking off the air about this, maybe a couple of years about updating our phones, because I think we have similar phones that are of the same year or within a year or so. And I just don't, right now I'm not seeing it. Where I do see it is, all right, it gets a little bit slow or it's eating through the battery. And the problem with, that the types of batteries we use these days is that, yes, they're going to wear down and they're not meant to replace. You're going to have to replace the phone. And so that becomes a problem, but I'm really not far away from a charger. I will, by the time I, am done with my day, I might use maybe half of my charge before I put, I'm at probably 50-55% by the time I put it on a charger later, today around noon.
When I got my new couch last year, I got USB ports. They're built into it. You mm-hmm. actually plug in
yeah.
the couch.
Yeah.
And so I'm always on it, but I'm not right now, but my battery's fine. And mm-hmm. I've had this, I have a Galaxy Note 9,
mm-hmm.
but see, I love the stylus. Yeah. I use my smartphone, though, 99% of the time. I've got a laptop, I have a desktop,
mm-hmm.
and I turn them on once a month to update them, because if I don't, and my desktop is probably 13, 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
and so I turn it on, that thing will update for 2 days.
Yeah.
And so I turn them, I do that to update it. Now I have things on it, like all my music is on one of those computers. It's on both. All my music is on two different computers because I spent, this goes back, 2009, 2010, where I took every single CD mm-hmm. and, put it on digital. And it took me, it took me a couple of months to do so. Every day I'd just come home and put another CD in and download it and do it. And it took me over 2 months.
Yeah, I have a streaming service. Somebody asked me one time, because I have a MacBook at home that I probably use once a week for business, but my cell phone is 99% of the time.
Yeah,
I don't have any downloads on my phone because I have a streaming service, and I've never run into an issue where I can't find a song that I want to listen to. So I can build a playlist. And someone asked me one time, well, you have a MacBook, but you have an Android phone. You can't take your music with you. And I don't consider my music to be portable because I stream. So it's portable in any setting. And
you've got tons of room. I mean, I still do, and I probably have 3,000 songs downloaded on my phone.
Yeah.
from my CDs.
I've got a backup hard drive that is a terabyte, and it's got, I don't know, man, it's got like Dexter seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
It's got a ton of my iTunes downloads that I paid for years ago. You know, when I was buying music, and I don't access it because now, well, I can stream Dexter on Netflix or whatever, you know, streaming has pretty much changed everything, and I can save documents in the cloud and all that. So I haven't reached that, except for the fact that when it starts slowing down a little bit, and I'm bad about not turning my phone, you know, off and resetting it. You should do that every day.
I do it all every day.
And I'll go a week or two.
Okay.
And then I'll realize, okay, I'll restart it. I restart it and it's fine. And I just don't see the expense right now being justified.
What I want is a 5G though. That's all. That's the only update I'm looking for. Camera. You know, I'm not a professional photographer. I like taking pictures of family still, but the 5G is the only thing that would make me want to change. And I don't know, depending on how long that phone lasts until the next one, until the battery goes out. But yeah, I use my phone for everything. I just and it's so convenient. Mm-hmm. And I can do everything, and I like the stylus though. And I know the latest Samsung has the stylus. What mm-hmm. is it, the 22, I think?
Yeah,
they don't call it Note anymore, but it's, they have one that has the stylus that you
yeah, it's the Galaxy S
22.
There's a 22. There's a 21 Pro.
Yeah,
that I think has a stylus. Yeah,
yeah. And so I love the stylus.
Right,
and I do everything, and it's so great. I take it everywhere, and to be able to have everything, be able to do everything, right in front of me. The thing is, even about the 5G, I've delayed because everywhere that I go has Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I've got the, what is it called, the VPN,
mm-hmm.
if I go to strange Wi-Fi, so mm-hmm. I can protect myself there.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't cost hardly anything to have that for a year.
Right.
And so I've got that, so I feel safe on Wi-Fi. And everywhere I go, here, as wife, where do I go? Home and here.
Yeah.
But home, here, the airport, restaurant. I mean, everybody has it. And the greatest thing is, now with the phones, maybe 10 years ago didn't, but all the phones now remember the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So it automatically just puts you right back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always surprised. I'll be somewhere in New York. I'm like, I don't have Wi-Fi here. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was in here 7 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And so you've, at that point, you're like, well, when do I, and the 4G LTE is pretty fast to begin with. But now that they have 5G, it's like, do I want to get it to be able to download things a little bit quicker?
Yeah, I haven't felt that lag yet. The moment I do, it'll change things.
Yeah, and neither have I, but I'm thinking about it because I've had this phone. I don't know, when did the Galaxy Note 9 come out?
1904?
Well,
right after the steam-powered engine in cars, I think. I don't know.
Well, let me see. Okay, this is Edison is on here.
Yeah, there you go.
Edison and Tesla.
Yeah, right. No, that's what my wife has. And we're both of the same thought. It's like, until, because we do everything on our phone. But I'm just not feeling the lag just yet.
Okay, August 23rd, 2018.
Mm. Yeah.
So the phone's a little over, and I got it when it came out. So
yeah,
my phone's a little over 4 years old.
Right.
Which is pretty long to keep a phone.
Yeah, this is the longest I've had one phone.
Do people, here's a question, do people trade in, and, well, I don't know about the car industry now, but do people trade in phones the way they used to trade in their vehicles?
Yeah,
you know,
actually,
every couple of years.
The providers offer incentives for you to do that. Yeah, there's a healthy secondary market, and they do provide incentives. But the problem is the incentives only go back so far. So, okay, you know, like right now, I don't know how far back they would go on an iPhone. Maybe iPhone 10. I don't know, on a trade-in. In other words, hey, we'll give you so much toward a new phone. My carrier right now is begging me, but my trade-in probably doesn't apply. I actually haven't checked because I'm just not interested right now. But I've been with them, you know, for so long, and I have multiple lines, and they're like, you know, go ahead. Look, it's okay. Go ahead. And they keep pushing the iPhone. And when it comes to phones, I'm an Android guy. I like my MacBook. But when it comes to phones, I'm an Android guy.
Same with me.
Yeah.
So I find it very simple, but there's with so many apps on it. And the fact is I haven't gone through, what do I have? 128 gigabytes of storage, I think, on it.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, I still have 60 left.
Yeah, I so clear never, out apps. If I haven't opened an app in a long time, I'm sorry.
I'll clear it out.
Yeah.
But I'll never use the 60 that are remaining because I do clear out stuff consistently. And, and with the clouds that you have, it stores all your pictures. So,
Yeah.
And pictures really don't use a lot anyway.
Right.
And I'm not somebody who keeps videos forever.
Right. I don't keep many videos. I have grandchildren, so I keep a couple. But really, their parents have most of the videos. So I just don't have, right now, I just don't feel that need. It would be more of a want if I saw something, a feature in a phone, which is why I follow Marques Brownlee on YouTube. And it's like, okay, give me a reason. I mean, it all looks really, really, really cool. And he makes it look as cool as it's going to look, you know? And he does comparisons.
Well, I love it when they say, and for gamers, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, no, you would. It's but the thing is that that's become such an industry.
I know.
That the end, it's not that so many people are making money from it. It's that it attracts people because there's that promise of getting to a point where you can monetize it. And, you know, for some people, they can. Not to the pro level, but they can monetize it as a side gig. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have enough time. If you're making money from it and you're doing something you enjoy, good for you. It's just not my thing.
Like I said, though, it was yesterday where I went, is it time?
It's funny because I've been thinking about it for about a couple of weeks thinking, all right, what's on the horizon?
And I think this the 22 with the stylus came out a year ago.
Yeah.
And so I haven't thought about it in a year. And all of a sudden yesterday, and I don't know why. It wasn't like I was dissatisfied with it. I said, this thing's, I told you, I didn't even know. It's been so long. I didn't know whether it was a Note 9 or Note 10. I had to go look. I had to go look and check on the phone.
Right.
So it's like, wow, Note 9. It's like so ancient.
Yeah.
And then my father's has his little flip phone.
Right.
From 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
The flip phone.
I still have my very first Samsung phone. From 97 when I first got a phone.
Wow.
Actually, both of them. I got them, one for me, one for my wife.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Hi, I'm Jen Loomis, a transport safety expert at J.J. Keller, and I'm here to share a tip on transport security. When you arrive at the shipper, you should be prepared to show photo identification. The shipper may also ask you for the name of the receiver and the destination of the materials before releasing the shipment. When it comes to loading the vehicle, you should either load or supervise the loading. Only accept scheduled cargo. Never accept unauthorized or unscheduled cargo. In fact, you should view requests to load unscheduled freight as highly suspicious, and you should contact your carrier if you are asked to load anything other than authorized cargo. Load the most valuable cargo as far away from the doors as possible, and make sure all cargo is free of visual damage. Before leaving the shipper, review and verify all load-related documents, and report and resolve any discrepancies on load-related documents before signing the paperwork or sealing the trailer. Once the vehicle is loaded, the trailer doors should be secured with a heavy-duty padlock and/or a trailer seal. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller & Associates. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This report is brought to you by Pilot Flying J and by Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, you got me thinking when you talked about your first cell phone. My first personal cell phone that I had was in 97. I can still see what it looked like, but I can't remember the make of it.
Yeah.
But I remember getting it, I was really excited because for three years previously, I had a work cell phone.
Yeah, I had a mobile phone that was attached to my car.
No, I had one of the original flip.
The brick?
The original flip ones.
Okay.
The original, and from 94 to 97.
Yeah.
And that's because I would do, they decided that, you know, they wanted you everywhere to do live hits and live broadcast.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's like, remember how I used to set up the MARTI system? Mm-hmm. It's like, nah, do it on the cell phone.
Yeah.
And so they gave it to me and they said, yeah, you can use it for personal use, just don't use it a lot. So I might use it, I don't know, 15 minutes a month.
Right.
And it was like, I can't believe I have this incredible freedom. And so when you just brought up the fact of you know, your first cell phone, and then I realized that I had one from 94 to 97 that was a company cell phone that I used for a few other, you know, for a few personal things. But when I got that cell phone in 97 and I could be anywhere, anytime,
yeah,
I was like, does it get any better in society, in the world, ever?
In 92, 93, I had a mobile phone in my car, and I thought, oh my gosh, wow. This changes everything.
Wow, you're Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Don't even ask about the extra E. Call in during the show. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. Welcome. Reading here from Jonathan Turley. Biden and team shrug after Stacey Abrams' Georgia election law loss or election lawsuit over Jim Crow 2.0 rejected by a judge. President Biden supported Stacey Abrams and derided Georgia's election law as Jim Crow on steroids, but it's been crickets since the judge's ruling. It was not enough to call it Jim Crow on steroids and sick. President Biden wanted the public to know that the law flagrantly was unconstitutional. And he writes, some of us disagreed with that view. But the view that counted was U.S. District Judge Steve Jones, an Obama appointee who heard the challenge to the law. This week, Jones found the law to be entirely constitutional after being declared, quote, the new Confederacy, end of quote, and subjected to a costly boycott. Georgians could be forgiven if they view Biden's claim as foul, given the exhausting media coverage and condemnations of the law, one would expect that a legion of legal experts out in force on a judge upholding the allegedly, quote, modern Jim Crow law, end of quote. Instead, it's been crickets, almost as if the earlier coverage was knowingly exaggerated for public consumption. Georgia Democratic candidate for governor Stacey Abrams tweeted, it's Jim Crow in a suit and tie. Representative Ro Khanna of California called the laws anti-American, racist, and a betrayal of our Constitution. Democratic attorney Mark Elias, who allegedly hid the Clinton campaign's funding for the infamous Steele dossier, said in an interview that democracy was assaulted with a pen in the new law.
Hmm.
Liberal publications like Vanity Fair called it a broad, profoundly undemocratic assault on voting rights. Now that such claims were actually subjected to judicial review and rejected, there is little discussion of Jim Crow. The group that lost before the district court is closely associated with Abrams, who previously refused to concede the election of Governor Brian Kemp in the last election. President Biden once again has moved on. For weeks, Biden denounced the law of Jonathan Turley's wrong there. For months. For weeks, Biden denounced the laws taking us back to the segregation period and even the Civil War. Yet, this ruling was met with a shrug from the White House. It's a familiar pattern. The president has often made sweeping legal claims and then refused to address the rejection of those claims. The Georgia ruling actually came on the anniversary of one of the most reprehensible examples. It was a year ago that President Biden rushed to condemn Border Patrol agents falsely accused of whipping migrants from horses along the border. Not waiting for charges, let alone an investigation, Biden declared, "It's outrageous. I promise you those people will pay." The same pattern followed. While some of us noted that there was no evidence to support the claim, and actually the photographer denied the allegation, the media went into the same frenzy. While promising a quick investigation, the Biden administration then slow-walked the process and recently cleared the agents of the whipping allegation. They will, of course, still be punished, just as the president promised they would, for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues, "The one thing that they will never receive is an apology from President Biden. The news cycle is over and they are no longer relevant. It is no longer important or worth mentioning that Biden openly misrepresented the election law in Georgia with a series of false statements." I will add false statements and race baiting. In today's highly protected media, Biden can just move on without contradiction to his next sensational legal claim. There is also silence from those who supported the boycott of Georgia over a law that has now been upheld in its entirety as constitutional. Major League Baseball pulled out of the All-Star game in Atlanta and may have cost the state as much as $100 million. The Major League Baseball is now entirely silent in its decision to punish Georgia before any review of the courts. While some of us disagreed with Abrams and Biden, Major League Baseball simply punished the entire state. Georgia has noted that the alleged voter suppression under the law turned out to be voter enhancement. According to the Secretary of State's office, 1.9 million eligible voters participated in the 2022 primary contest compared to 1.2 million in 2018. Moreover, African-American turnout was 22% higher than in any other primary election except for the 2020 presidential primary. Nevertheless, the Justice Department is continuing its own challenge. Much like the border agent controversy at Homeland Security, the Justice Department seems driven to prove the president right. However, thus far, no one can get the Jim Crow claim off the ground. The judge wrote in this case, quote, "The burden on voters is relatively low. Plaintiffs have not provided direct evidence of a voter, not one voter, who was unable to vote. They were not able to bring forth one voter who experienced longer wait times, could not bring forth one voter who was confused about voter registration status." That seems a bit odd with a voter suppression law that led to a boycott and a presidential condemnation. So, as we have said, he needs to also add in there the race baiting that was done by the president that we have compared to any hate
group leader, any white supremacist group leader, consistently tells lies in order to create racial hatred and racial divisiveness based on a lie. That's what President Biden did in this case with the Georgia election law on a consistent basis that lasted not weeks. It lasted months.
Yep.
In fact, I believe he recently did it again.
It wasn't too long ago.
Last month or two, he did it again. He brought it up again.
Right.
And so then when an Obama judge says, no, there's nothing to this whatsoever, nobody talks about it. Where, how come they're not upset? Why? They used it in the moment of emotion and rage to put out to create racial racial rage and divisiveness, to have Major League Baseball move, to have Hollywood condemn Georgia. And then when they say there's nothing wrong with the law, as we said from the very beginning, the other thing that Turley fails to notice here is never once did they explain why it was Jim Crow on steroids.
Right.
And we said anybody who has just a cursory knowledge of Jim Crow knows that the election law has nothing. You're talking, number one, apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing in there that could be compared to Jim Crow. He did it because Biden and the Democrats want people of different skin colors to hate each other. And if they can lie about it, they're okay with it. That's how reprehensible and despicable these people are.
Yep. And they were taking advantage of the sentiment at the time that was growing on the left. And there was a rage that was growing. And the president was leading that over and over and over again. And as pointed out, it cost the businesses there in Georgia because Major League Baseball decided to act on it. A ton of money. By the way, including black-owned businesses, and they took that game from Georgia and put it in a much whiter city. And the left, where was the outrage on that? Where was the far left saying, hey, look what you've done?
We're talking
about the identity politics on the left that only works if it's working for them. They'll use it. If it's not, they'll ignore it.
Yeah, they didn't give a damn about black owned businesses and what they would lose in Georgia.
No, because they don't care about any of it.
Right.
All they care about is creating division, creating a negative energy that is going to basically, they hope, work for them at election time. And they ultimately lost.
They wish to create racial hatred based on lies.
Yep.
By the way, identity politics, if you wonder, that's a tough charge, tell us where we're wrong on it. the judge just proved us right.
Mm-hmm.
And as we have talked about before, identity politics in general is what the Democrats believe in. We judge people by groups and not individuals. And they do it all the time. And then when people are able to actually look at it over a period of time after the damage has already been done, and then the truth comes out as to what the Georgia, when the truth was already out, this judge, and the fact that he's an Obama appointed judge is huge. Did you see any negative stories from the media on this?
No.
There might have been one or two. I'm going through Real Clear Politics for all their editorials that they have. I'm going through editorials. I can't find one.
I mean, you know, the Washington Post and they all did an article on it, but it wasn't the fight.
No.
You know, it wasn't the big opinion pieces that you would expect in basically with the same energy that they used up until that judgment. That's what you would expect. And the Washington Post article had, you know, a quote from Abrams, and she was on CNN with Aaron Burnett. And, you know, of course, she's denying, oh, no, I never said I didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that Tim Russert's telling God, can I go back down there now? Because there's so much more. YouTube did not exist like it did.
Yeah.
Please let me back. Let me back. I can, because that's the first thing I would do. Well, you know she's going to deny it. Bring up the audio cut of her saying it.
Yeah. Correction there. I never said my opponent didn't win, and there's the correction there. But that's what, you know, now she's, again, but it's exactly what the Democrats do when they're handed the truth. They act like they never said anything up to that point. Warnock. I don't even know anybody who isn't for voter ID. I'm sorry. Are you kidding me? Are you being serious right now? And he said that at the beginning of his term. That's just incredible.
I know.
But that's what they do.
Well, it's like defunding the police.
Yeah.
You know,
because Biden, he makes the turn at the State of the Union. You know, we need to fund them. And he said it recently. About a month ago, again, he was doing the repeating of the fund them. It's like you're not getting the point across. Nobody buys it from you.
Fund with me.
Exactly. You know, he's just reading the words. But this is what they do. They deny that they said any of it. And Stacey Abrams, this is what you're looking at right now. Oh, no. I never said he didn't win. Uh-huh.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I still remember how long it went on. Remember in the Georgia election law that they passed a bill that doesn't allow water. No water.
Yeah,
people will die of thirst in line.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. Water would be allowed. It's just you couldn't be a part of a group handing out water individually, because therefore you could speak to people and they didn't want political groups doing that. You explain that and everybody says, yeah, okay. But I'm expecting the Democrats to come out and claim that it's Jim Crow on steroids continually, that will continue with that narrative that it's Jim Crow on steroids because voting places don't have free buffets.
Right. People will starve.
Yes.
They can't have any food.
We don't provide housing for people that are standing in line.
Yes. And they're not allowed to stand too close to the ground. What? I mean, but it was a fear tactic that was bound to go nowhere. The problem is that nobody needs a fact checker anymore. We can do our own, especially on things like this. People can do their own fact checking.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley over there.
Hi.
I'm the better one, Gary McNamara, on this side. What? Humble.
Listen, I'm very humble about being better. I'm even more humble about being the best.
I'm the bestest.
I'm the best ever. And you know what? It's okay to say that. I feel comfortable saying that. I used to be cautious about saying such things, but now I know.
Oh, speaking of not being better, but of being in this business a long time, thanks to Ryan at Barrett Sports Media, who was apparently listening to me last week when when you were out.
Yeah, look, and, look, I take one day off, and all of a sudden I come back, and you're the talk of the town. You got a headline written about you.
I was looking at today going,
what happened? What did I miss?
What the hell is this? Who's, you know, what's going on? Oh, yeah, I was on the air last week, and it just was a thought that came through my head. I don't know, it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and I just thought to myself, I went, oh, wow, this is the end of 33 years in talk radio.
Oh.
Because I started.
By the way, congratulations!
Well, thank you, very much.
I missed your birthday and that. Now you know we are an old couple because I forget all of it,
and it hurts deeply.
Yeah, okay. That I don't care about. Get over it.
I'm so hurt. I'm so hurt. I need to cuddle with my cat every time.
Walk
every day
it off, McNamara.
So all of a sudden, I mean, there's this huge headline, and he put it on Twitter. From Barrett Sports Media, and you know they've got a news service, but they're a huge consultant, you know, to especially sports talk radio stations all over the country. But
yeah,
I didn't know that Ryan, who wrote the article, worked at the station I worked at, WBEN, but in Buffalo. But great big headline, Gary McNamara, basically.
I thought we got some great listeners, and they'll often make like a meme or something, and like post something, you know, and tweet at us. You know, and it's always fun. And for a second, when I first saw it, I was like, man, they made that look real. That looks like a real article. Wait a minute. That is a real article.
And it was just something that popped into my head. And it was simply that, oh, wow, this ends at... I didn't know when I started the show that I was going to talk about it. Just popped into my head. I went, oh, wow. October, first week of October, 1989 is when I got into talk radio.
Rocktober.
And I went, wow. Talktober.
Talktober.
And I went, oh, wow. It's the end of my 33 years. And then I just started thinking, sort of stream of consciousness on the air about how things were different. You know, back when I first got into talk radio, when I went through what some of the topics were. But it wasn't a big thing. But there's a headline: Gary McNamara doesn't plan on leaving radio after 33 years. Well, it's 40 years in radio, 33 years in talk radio.
Yeah, right.
And it says Red Eye Radio host Gary McNamara has been in talk radio for more than 3 decades, and he doesn't see it ending anytime soon. And it's funny because I did say that. But it's just when it's put into headlines, it's like a proclamation. almost as if I put out a press release on
it. No, that's what I thought. I thought, did Gary write? What was he doing when I was out? Hey, call the media and make sure that they all know. Let's call our friends over there at CNN and make sure they do the big story on the morning news with Don Lemon.
and I did say this. I've said this before. He said that somebody on the radio told him that he had to stay away when he first got into talk radio from talking about race. Don't talk about race; it'll get you in trouble. And I thought to myself, he's got me in quotes. And I thought to myself, I'll talk about whatever I want. At that time, I really didn't know what I was doing in talk radio, but I embraced it.
Yeah.
And he said he never ran away from talking about anything, including race. He goes, in fact, the topics that they say are taboo, like race, are one of the favorite topics that Eric Harley and I love talking about. All these taboo topics that they say we shouldn't be talking about are the ones that we like so much. And I said, I love this job and I love being able to do this, which is true. But like I said, it was just put in that official form in print where it's like, and then I saw it, and I saw you liked it, and I hadn't talked to you about it. And I went, Eric's going to go, what the hell's this?
Yeah. Thought we had the same publicist. What's going on?
What's this? What is this huge statement you're making?
What happened? What I miss?
Sometimes I forget I'm on the radio, and you may say something, and somebody all of a sudden comes a headline somewhere.
It was weird, and the following is just me trying to get my own article written about me. I celebrated 38 years in radio September 4th, and
you didn't get an article.
We were, and I didn't get no stinking article. And I remember thinking, because we were on vacation, and I kept thinking, my math is wrong. It hasn't been 38 years, because that would make me, oh, crap, it's been 38 years. I just remember thinking, I must have that wrong. It, for some reason, I'm stuck in somewhere inside of three decades of experience going, oh, no, it's got to be 20. It's 38. Yeah, it's 38. And I thought to myself, all right, because some day, there are plenty of days where I feel really old. You're 10 years older than me, but I feel 20 years older than everybody, pretty much. And doing this gig for 20, this is another article I'm trying to get, 26 years at this job this December. That's 26. It's spelled Eric, E-R-I-C, Harley. By the way, you got it right. You got, I guess, it's probably on our website. Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y. I didn't even check to see if our own website had my name spelled right. I didn't even really care, I guess. But you start working the job, and I remember that at WBAP, they had asked me, well, do you plan on staying as long as the former host, Bill Mack? He stayed for 32 years, and I said, no! I mean, like, I couldn't wait to get the no out. It just jumped out. No! You know, working overnights. Not that I didn't love the job. It was, mm-hmm. I couldn't see myself lasting on the, what we call the first shift, not third. The day starts at midnight. And I just, you know, it was like, there's no way I'd be able to last, you know, 20, almost 26 years. And, but yet you and I have talked about it. And not, you know, being under the weather, it makes it a lot worse. But everything basically during the week has to be about, you know, building the energy. And I mean, pretty much every move is about show prep, whether it's getting rest or exercise or staying healthy or trying to get healthy or, you know, the other research and stuff we have to do. It's all about doing that. And I look back and it's like, yeah, I guess I was never going to go anywhere. I can't imagine like going out and looking for a job at this point. You know, I get notifications from LinkedIn. Yeah. It's like so-and-so posted from LinkedIn. And I'm like, I'm not looking for a job. Why would I care?
I get to post.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's a great networking website. It's not even about that. That's just how my little mind works.
But when they do the media jobs, for example,
yeah.
at DFW.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at them, I'm like, in the Dallas area. I'm like,
yeah, here's some positions you might be interested in.
It's like, no, not really.
And a lot of it is because it would, in my mind, it would be work because I would have to go. And I have a lot of other experience in radio, but when you get into the mode of not routine, but basically what the rhythm is of any job, of, you know, you're going every single day, if you love what you do, that's kind of driving you in a way that it doesn't always feel like work. It is work, but it doesn't feel like mm-hmm. work. And I look at those postings and I go, oh, no, that sounds like work. No, thanks.
Well, and then when I saw that it was posted by, you know, the article was posted on Twitter by Kevin Tober from newsbusters.org,
right,
that we've been using as a reference for the longest time.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Newsbusters because their job is to basically, and we believe they have the, even though they don't agree, Kevin didn't agree with us on this, but we believe they have the hardest job on the planet.
Yeah.
Because, or the most frustrating job.
They've got to watch all the mainstream media news.
They got to watch all the mainstream media news and then pick out where they see the bias in it.
Yeah.
And picking out the bias would be the good part of it, having to go through.
Right.
And watch, oh, I'm going to watch the entire. I'm because when And it doesn't happen as much anymore. When my mom was alive, you know, my mom would watch news all the time. My dad will watch it, but not as much as she did. But every night I'd be there, they'd have on, you know, ABC, NBC, or CBS.
Yeah, same here.
And so you're working from the moment you're on. I'm back. I'm not on vacation anymore. I'm not visiting my parents. I'm doing work.
Right.
And I'm getting frustrated as they get through two stories. I'm like, bias. Look, I'm on vacation. I got to walk out of the room. I can't be here anymore.
Exactly.
And so when I think of, you know, the folks at Newsbusters doing it. So first I see Kevin posted it from Newsbusters. I go, what's he posting? How did he know? I go, oh, there's an article written? What in the world's going on? So, no, it was all wonderful. But I guess to me the biggest thing, and I even said it on Friday, the biggest thing that I take out of being in this business this long and loving it as much as I do is, and people know this, but I like reiterating it, I never wanted this. I hated it. I didn't want to do this. I was afraid to do it. I was scared to do talk radio. I liked the crutch of music radio. I like the crutch of everybody liking you. If you're in music radio, you really don't get it unless you play a song somebody doesn't like. Well, I don't know. Maybe you get criticized today when people criticize everything on social media. But when I was in music radio, it was all fun and happy and everybody's smiling and everybody
loves
you.
Everybody's your friend.
Everybody's your friend. They went, and you get into talk radio and what you find out is a significant portion of people that listen to you hate your guts.
Yes.
And the other thing is that you actually have to say things and back them up. And I was incredibly frightened of being shamed publicly of not knowing what the hell I was talking about, especially the first couple of years, because there are so many topics out there and you have to do so much research. And initially I would stay away from topics. Now I have no problem looking at something and I say, I don't know. I don't have this. I have no problem doing it now.
Right.
Back then you were like, oh, you're not supposed to get on the radio and say you don't know something. And it's like, it's, you know, and back then it was harder to find it because you just couldn't go to the internet and go, okay, you and I, all right, what's going on here? And 10 seconds later, oh, there it is right there. Here's the real story.
Right.
Or whatever. We can find the truth on something or update ourselves real, you know, real quick. Couldn't do it back then. And it was frightening because to me, being shamed, having somebody call me or write to me and say, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And then figuring out they're right. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. There was so much fear of that happening. And the few times that it did happen, absolute shame mm-hmm. that I would allow myself. But then my excuse was, but I didn't want to do this. I was forced to do it. I'm not supposed to be here.
Poor me.
And then you see, you know, 33 years later, I'm like, wow, this is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Sue up in heaven, thank you so much. The former radio station owner of WJJL in Niagara Falls who said, oh, I know what we're going to do. We have to fill this talk show slot and we don't know what to do. So have you figured out what to do, Gary? I was station manager. No, I'm still looking, though. Well, I've got the solution. Oh, good. Please tell me. You're going to do the show. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I can't and I won't. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, you're on.
Right.
Yeah. You know, out of high school, I just needed a gig. My sister walks through the room. She says, hey, the local radio station's hiring. And I applied. It's the first summer out of high school. And then about a month after that, they called me. And I started. And it was September of 84. And the same thing. Radio in general. I wasn't even looking to... We have so many colleagues that I grew up listening to radio, always wanted to be in radio. For me, I just showed up and they were hiring and I just showed up and I applied. And then I kept showing up every day. And then I fell in love with radio in a way that, you know, is today probably stronger than ever. And it gives me, I think, a greater appreciation for what I do, knowing that it's not a given that you get a place on the radio. And the fact that I wasn't one of those guys that, like many, that grew up listening, saying that's all I ever want to do. I went to work. I needed a job. I went to work, fell in love with it, and then realized, okay, this is really all I ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that appreciation builds that drive, I think, renews that drive.
Yeah,
all the time.
We are breast.
Nope.
No, we're
nope.
not breast.
No.
We are blessed.
We are blessed.
We are blessed,
yes.
and privileged to be working here at Westwood One.
Yeah, definitely.
And have people actually trust us to go, oh, by the way, go across the country on hundreds of radio stations and on an incredible podcast, because ours is now incredible.
Yes.
And say whatever you want.
Right.
And we'll pay you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
What are you, idiots? Oh, thank you, I mean.
I'm sorry. Are you guys serious?
Exactly.
All right. Are you sober?
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up, the Supreme Court back in session, and how is the media handling that? Not too well. But again, the exaggeration from the left and from the Democrats on the Supreme Court is the same thing we saw with the Georgia election law.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, before we got to the top of last hour, we went through, for example, what we went through point by point what the Democrats said and what the media said and what the president said. And they lied about the Georgia election law.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely and totally constitutional, as the Obama judge has said. Well, they're doing the same thing with the Supreme Court. They're lying about the Supreme Court. You think about it, they're lying about everything. You know, fascism. The Republican Party is about fascism. Really? The Republican Party wishes to get away, to move away from voting? Do you believe that those that vote Republican, you think most conservatives wish to move on from, and this is the interesting thing, because the group that does not believe in the Constitution is who?
The Democrats.
In their own words.
Yep.
Not ours, in their own words.
Yeah, they started with the whole living, breathing document thing, and now they've moved to full on, it's antiquated.
Right.
They don't believe in it.
And so when they throw out these words on a, fascist, the end of democracy, while they are the ones with the things that they promote that are precisely against what is inside our Constitution and makes us the United States of America.
Right.
From First Amendment issues to Second Amendment issues to separation of powers issues.
Yep.
We can go on all day, which we will next.
Five hours a week on your favorite radio station, online or in our app, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, we were talking an hour ago about Jonathan Turley's column on the Georgia election law and how there's been crickets now that an Obama judge came in and said, no, it's completely and totally constitutional after everything that we've been through over the last couple of years of Jim Crow and the Major League Baseball moving out, the All-Star Game moving out, companies threatening, remember the Coca-Cola thing too?
Right.
Coca-Cola opening their mouth. Mm-hmm. And we said, they're all lying. Everything they're doing is based on a lie. Well, we now know from the liberal point of view, the liberal justice point of view, the federal judge who said, nope, we couldn't find one person. Any of your witnesses that we found, that you brought up, none of them faced what you said they were facing. None of them.
Yep.
And so when I was looking at his column, especially on Twitter, he also talked about the Supreme Court being being put back, and said the coverage today has followed the narrative that the court is composed of partisan hacks. WAMU and NPR just had the typical balanced panel that only disagreed on whether the justices were dangerous partisans or unprecedented dangerous partisans. Looking here from MSNBC. And the headline of Ellie Mistel, Supreme Court returns stronger and more terrible than ever. And we have heard this about the Supreme Court. And as we have stated before, just like the election law, and this is something that why Democrats feel like they can say anything, because the media hardly ever calls them on it and then asks for specifics to justify the label that they're throwing on someone. For example, if somebody called me a fascist, well, you endorse conservative principles and therefore you're a fascist. How?
Right.
Nobody could answer that question. You can never answer that question of how I'm a fascist or how you are a fascist, because everything we believe is the opposite. But they throw the label out and just keep on top of that, fascist and just reprehensible. And do you hear what he believes? No. He doesn't believe in the beauty of critical race theory and the liberal transgender activist movement. So yeah. Not only is he a fascist, but he's a racist and transphobic. What you do is you start with one label and then you just keep adding on the other labels. And what becomes the explanation to justify your opinion is just attaching more labels without ever having to explain it.
Because the attempt is and it's part of the cancel culture, to throw those labels and hope that they stick long enough that others start using the label directed at the same person or group, so that they eventually all get to the point of going, oh, yeah, well, no, everybody knows that. And that's how the cancel culture works. Next thing you know, we're changing everything because the cancel culture said so without backing it up.
And on the Supreme Court, the exact same thing, because one thing that if you've listened to the show for any length of time, on every Supreme Court issue, we go through, the actual minutiae of the legal points that are actually brought up. And again, that's what the left doesn't do. For example, on Dobbs, on abortion, they didn't care what the legal justification was. If you don't agree with me, you're a fascist. If you don't agree with me, you're an unprecedented legal hack.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to say you're a legal hack, we'll explain why you're a legal hack.
Right.
And we'll go into the specifics of the law to tell you why you're a legal hack.
Right.
They never did that with the Supreme Court. How do I know? How can I justify in my own mind that what they're doing is wrong? Number one, we've explained what exactly the Supreme Court did, point by point by point. Number two, every single person, and there's been about four or five over the last couple of months that I've talked to that have been pro-choice, and of course, when they find out what I do, address me on it, and I explain it to them. I go, well, they took away a woman's right. I go, well, let's actually look at what they did. Will you listen for a moment? And you tell them. You actually go through as we did. No, they didn't say. What they said was abortion is not in the Constitution.
Right.
And it's not in the Constitution.
It's not a matter for the Supreme Court.
Right. Not a matter. He said that's a matter. And one of the reasons is, I said, is because no one can identify when life begins.
Right.
And the Supreme Court has made it clear they're not going to determine when life begins. That's up to the people of the United States.
Exactly.
Through their elected, through their elected representatives. Now, could there be a federal law? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There could be they could pass a federal law stating that abortion is legal. They could do that on a federal level. They can do it on the state level. But they threw it back to the states because that's where it is, because the federal government has not determined when life begins. So right. It goes back to the states. You do it. And every single person that I explained it to, and one of the most interesting things was, it's a woman's body that, you know, they can do whatever they want with it. And you need to stay out of, you know, this is women's rights and you need to stay out of it. And I said, so you would believe everyone, you believe in abortion till birth? Well, no. There should be limits on it. Well, then you don't believe that it's a woman's body.
Right.
Because you say there's limits on when a woman can control her body, that when it's viable. So you don't, every single one I had completely and totally confused. And the ending for all of them were like, well, but something has to be done.
Right.
Well, that's an easy way to get out of it. I can feel morally superior by just saying, well, something needs to be done, even though I have no idea what it should be.
Right.
Oh, well, that's good. But when you actually explain it, and the justices were called everything in the book, and what they simply said was, we aren't. And as we have stated, well, they're fascists for doing this, because that's part of it. If you're denying a woman the right to have an abortion, you're a fascist. Well, actually, they're the opposite of fascist. Because they said, we don't get to decide that.
Right.
We don't live in a fascist society. We as justices don't get to dictate to you what you, we the people, need to decide what's going on. Not an unelected justice.
Well, that's what's funny is that's the statement that was made by the Supreme Court, and it was a week or two later. AOC said something she thought she was making her case against the Supreme Court, but she was actually saying the same thing the Supreme Court was saying. The Supreme Court can't make that decision. That's why we as elected representatives need to take up that. That's exactly what
right.
SCOTUS was saying.
There isn't one person who I haven't had completely and totally frustrated who is pro-choice and that actively had that opinion that the Supreme Court was, in essence, fascist for doing it.
Right.
Once you break it down and you break down every one of their arguments, they're left with, well, something needs to be done.
There was a double-edged sword that was the bill introduced by Lindsey Graham. First of all, you're not going to get Republicans on board saying they're okay with abortion up to 15 weeks. But the back and forth on it, because the bill was never going to go anywhere, but the back and forth on it became what? Okay, well, no, 15 weeks, not 15 weeks. No, it should be. And that's going to be the problem with any bill that's introduced on Capitol Hill regarding abortion, is that at some point as a society, we'll have to draw that line and define where life begins through our elected representatives. That's why it may never happen.
And when I explained to them, they were not happy. When I explained to each and every one of them in a very nice thing, you know, the belief that the justices should decide something that is not in the Constitution, that's actually more of a fascist mindset.
Right, exactly.
But it's a right. You're
right.
Claiming it's a right. If it's a right, mm-hmm. then get the people of the United States to dictate that there should be a 11th Bill of Rights.
Right, yeah.
And I said, and that's the way that the country works, because the country is not fascist, as you're claiming the justices are. But understand that what you are saying is exactly 180 degrees different from the reality of what the Supreme Court is doing.
Right.
And so if the Democrats believe that they can get away with saying that the Georgia election law was Jim Crow, and now that they have been utterly defeated in court by an Obama justice, they're just quiet on it. Well, the complications and the intricacy of the Constitution and the legal system and the separation of powers and who gets to make law, they just believe, people are idiots out there. We can sell them everything, so we'll just yell and scream that the Supreme Court is a bunch of fascists who want to take the country in an autocratic, you know, in a Supreme Court autocratic direction.
Right.
Which, of course, is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's because the cancel culture has been or was up to a point successful in their mission. Now, in their minds, they think it should be that easy. That creating law or changing the Constitution if you want to go that far, should be as easy as we're shouting it, we're the largest group, or we're the loudest group, actually not the largest group, and we should get that change because we shout it louder. And the fact of the matter is, no, it's not how it works. And that's what they've been conditioned to believe, that if they just show up, destroy other people's property, carry a picket sign, shout somebody down, or get somebody canceled, corner somebody in an elevator, Jeff Flake, then we win, and this is how we'll change laws. This is how easy the laws should change.
Or we'll try to intimidate you with Jeff Flake.
Yeah, right.
We'll try to intimidate you to be against political due process.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point, is that we're not going to – there's a reason that there's a process in place. They don't think that.
No,
they don't believe in the process, and they believe if we just shout it enough, then we can get it to change, and that's how things change. It isn't.
And again, what happens is as time goes by, now the people look at the Georgia election law, just like as time goes by when you look at the abortion law. Well, why did they do this? Oh, okay. Yeah, that actually makes sense. I wish I could have my way sooner, but it doesn't work that way because we aren't. In a fascist state, you can change laws really quick. We're not fascist state.
Exactly.
And we don't wish to be a fascist state. But see how when, you know, whether it's the Georgia election law, they don't want to debate it now. They knew they could never debate it. They knew they could never debate their point. You notice they're quiet now. There's crickets. And on the abortion law, the same thing. They never actually want to debate the legal issues and the constitutional issues involved. They just want to scream at the top of their lungs.
Exactly. Until everybody else shuts up and gives in.
Well, that's not happening.
Nope.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, I was watching yesterday, just a final word on the Supreme Court and the rhetoric coming out from the left. Mm. Paul Bagala was stating on CNN yesterday, well, it is an illegitimate court because the majority of senators that voted for this court were from smaller states.
That's the left demonstrating that they don't believe at all in the process or the Constitution.
Exactly. That was my point. What they're saying is it's illegitimate because it followed the constitutional procedure for them to be in the Supreme Court. But we don't like the fact that it was senators from smaller states that did it, which is the whole thing about. And the other thing was, since Trump didn't get a majority of the vote.
Right.
Since he didn't get 50%, it's illegitimate because if the public doesn't approve of the president who appoints a Supreme Court justice, then that gives it an air of illegitimacy, which, of course, it doesn't.
Right.
The only reason that the left views it as not legitimate is because they just want their way.
Exactly.
And if they don't get their way. But even his explanation was the fact that, well, the problem is it follows the Constitution. That's Bagala's complaint, that they're illegitimate because they followed the constitutional process and the Constitution is wrong. So then at that point, the Constitution is not legitimate.
Well,
if you're to follow.
Did he make the same point on the gay marriage decision? You know, are you saying that, it didn't work? It worked for us then. It worked in some decisions. It didn't work in this one. So we don't like it. Throw it all out. Do away with it.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Hey, that's part one of our show. Don't miss the rest. Click part two on our website, redeyeradioshow.com, or Red Eye Radio phone app to hear the rest of the show. And thanks for listening to Red Eye Radio.